This is the River Country Ag Show. Today we are talking with Darcy Fitzgerald, the Executive Director for Alberta Pork. Thanks for talking with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Erica.
Yeah, no problem. Now, I do have a couple of questions. Some does pertain to Western Canada as a whole and pork and everything like that, just to learn a little more about what's happening in the news.
Sure.
And we've been seeing now that meat packing plant workers are vaccinated, and they are getting vaccinated. They were in the priority group. Everyone now is eligible. Why is this important for the processing plants?
Well, I think like any business, you know, really, if we talk about it, like, you know, to ensure that workers stay safe and that we can come back a little closer to each other, I guess, but, you know, more so in the processing side of things, because they, you know, the workers there are you know, in more close proximity than, you know, other businesses for sure. And so if we can, you know, ensure their, and safeguard their health and make sure that they're okay, that really just overall safeguards our food supply, which is really important.
Exactly. Do you think it'll help outbreaks since there was quite a few?
I sure hope. But, you know, one of the things that we always have to look at, too, is, you know, where does it start? You know, and if we have a COVID incident and we're not following all the rules, you know, whether we're at work or at home, that's really the issue. And so the community itself also, you know, bears a lot of that responsibility, too, to make sure that we're doing, you know, what our health authorities have asked us to do when we're away from work as well. You can only do so much at work. You know, you also have to do the you know, good things at home as well.
Yeah, and with the outbreaks that were happening at these processing plants, there was the stop of market-ready pigs going into processing. And since the last time we spoke, the provincial and federal governments partnered together and they have allocated $4 million to help with the backlog of that between, I think, the beginning of February and the end of March. Is that enough money for that?
Yeah, actually it's worked out really well, and we certainly appreciate our Alberta government's support on that and the federal government as well. They share in the program. And it was a similar program to what occurred in Ontario for the most part, and it just allowed to cover some of those unexpected expenses that the producers had to face. And, you know, really one of the big ones, you know, when you think about it is the cost of feed, because that has really gone up since August of 2020.
How do you know how the application process goes for that?
Yeah, so the producers themselves that held back pigs had to apply through AFSC, and AFSC and the staff there were really quick to jump on this, put their program together, and accommodate our producers, and turned out a check really quickly. It was just a feed supplement check to help out with those extra costs, and so that was really much appreciated.
And speaking of extra costs, I have looked a little bit at the market reports comparing this year to last year, and it looks like hog prices have jumped up pretty significantly in some places. Is this really good for producers, or obviously the cost of taking care and raising pork has jumped a bit?
Yeah, that's totally true, Erica. You know, when you look at it, you know, the price goes up and everybody's like, hooray, you know, it sounds really good. But at the same time, so did feed costs, you know, grain costs overall. You know, we've seen significant jumps there. So, you know, I mean, producers are seeing a profit come to them, but it's getting eaten away as well by that extra that it takes to look after pigs. The other side, too, that, you know, people don't really think about too much, you know, even as a consumer, the general public, you know, we're starting to see more and more cost on our utility bills, you know, for the carbon tax as well. And that comes back to play heavily on our producers. And there's just an ongoing cost all the time that just keep elevating, you know, what the producer has to pay. And so, you know, when you see, you know, gains in the price, sometimes we forget that there's a lot of other costs that are coming in there now, and we're seeing that in everything, you know, for things that you might have to repair, lumber, you name it, fuel. It all comes back and becomes an extra cost, just like other businesses, onto the hog producer. And, you know, in the past 5 years or so, I mean, they've really not seen any profits at all. So, you know, this little bit that they're getting, they're hoping for more just to kind of fill the void of what they've lost in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously the market is being raised in response to raising prices across the board, like you were saying, and becoming more and more to raise a pig. Why is it so important for producers and consumers to have that understanding of why costs are being raised?
I think one thing that people forget is that Canada is one of the few countries, and there's only about seven of us in the world, that are real true exporters. And Canada is, first and foremost, an exporting country. And most of what we produce, we export outside of our country. And one of those things happens to be pork. And so in the pork industry here in Canada, we ship about 70% of what we produce to other countries. We do backfill it in with other products from other countries. But, you know, as a higher priced product, other countries do value it. And so it is shipped elsewhere. And one of the things we're seeing right now is just a shortage. Last year, with the closure of a lot of the plants in the U.S., it caused producers there to stop breeding pigs. And so now they have a true shortage, and the demand is high, and we're shipping lots of live pigs into the U.S. as well. And we're seeing a great shortage in a number of Asian countries, especially China. Where they've had African swine fever issues in their herds. They had about 1 million acres that were flooded last year, and that's right when that happened, we saw the spike in grains. It started about in August of 2020, and it really hasn't stopped. And so, you know, you have countries that have huge demands for food sources, and we just happen to be one of those countries that does supply to the rest of the world, and so there's a real draw on what we have. And so, like, our own consumers have to be aware of that, you know, you have a food supply here, and if you don't look after it, you could become one of those countries that has to rely on others to supply it for you. You know, so as we see those prices go up, it's not just, you know, the hog side for various reasons, but it's also the grains. And in our case, you know, we are quite lucky that, you know, there's a number of countries that do demand our products. Because right now we're shut out for about 70% of what we produce in the hog industry on the pork side. We're shut out of the Chinese markets, and you know, you might just assume for political reasons, because other countries have had COVID issues and other issues as well, and they've been granted a rather quick access right after that. So, and Canada still sits waiting to be accepted back into for 70% of our processing back into China.
Yeah, that's kind of unreal. Even though we are exporting to other countries, it's still good for us, right?
It is. Oh, absolutely. Our country is totally dependent. You name the product, and we're pretty much dependent on exporting it.
And you had mentioned African swine fever. Now, kind of just on the rare disease with swine in general, there were two cases in Manitoba pretty recently of rare swine flu variants. Is this a concern for Albertan pork farmers or consumers?
Yeah, you know, the difference, you know, when we look at some of these viruses and flu, you name it. I mean, you know, it becomes the contact of people first. In our industry, we've seen in the past, a few cases. There hasn't been very many, as announced with in Manitoba. We did have one case in Alberta in the winter. And, you know, for the most part, what we're seeing is a human-to-pig contact first, and then when it comes back from the pig to the human, you know, it is rare, but we do see it. And it just becomes all of us, again, biosecurity, you know, the whole thing, the reason why we're, as human beings, wearing masks right now, washing our hands, you know, being clean, making sure we're doing things, that's the same thing we have to do in hog barns as well, too.
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of wondering, like, how are these cases kind of handled? Like, do people get really sick from them, or is it just kind of mild?
It was very mild, actually. From the few cases that we have had, the one in Alberta, and the ones that were just announced in Manitoba, are very rare, and they were very mild, to my understanding. And our health authorities have just said it's a one-off and just kind of very rare. It doesn't happen very often, and they have deemed it not something that they're overly concerned about, because it does happen, but it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, because it's rare, so it wouldn't be super contagious like COVID or something like that.
Yeah, and the bigger issue too, Erica, it really comes down to is, if a worker's sick, not to go to the barn. And, in barns we do recommend wearing masks. We do ask, workers to always, be very clean when they leave, to make sure that they're not taking anything with them outside the barn. So it's all those precautions, and it really is, you know, on our part, just to be very safe when we're doing those things. But you know, we often forget that most times these kinds of viruses are taken from humans into the barn, and that becomes the problem too.
And those were my questions for you that I had ready, but I know there's a whole lot that does go on that a lot of us don't see. Is there anything else that's happening in Alberta regarding pork that we wouldn't know about?
Well, I think overall in Canada, and Alberta's no different, really. You know, we're looking probably constantly at three main areas. You know, one is revenue, two is our expenses, and three is our image. You know, when you think about our image, you know, there's so many things that we're not only being asked to do right, but I mean, we want to do right. And we're always looking to make those improvements. And, you know, some of those things are, you know, to look after the environment. And you know, our producers are the stewards of the land that they look after, and the water as well. And, you know, you're asked to raise animals properly and care for them 24/7. And we do have programs to ensure that they, you know, our producers are doing what's expected of them. You know, and safeguard the food supply. You know, when you look at, you know, how the food is handled right from the farm to the consumer's plate, you know, producers play a large role in that, and the quality assurance programs they're being asked to look after. And I would say our quality insurance programs are probably some of the best in the world. You know, they look after, you know, right from tracing animals to the food safety aspects inside the barns, animal care. And we do have great environmental regulations and processes in Alberta to look after after our environment. And, you know, when you look at those, all those demands being put on producers, and then you start to add in, you know, extra regulatory things, taxations, you know, like, again, I go back to the carbon side, you know, in some of our farms, just even something as simple as the carbon tax, it really can eliminate a position, a job. You know, it can be worth as much as someone's job at a farm over the course of the year, just to heat barns, dry grains, those kinds of things. And we look at that large capital investment, you know, and you see, you know, large negative returns year after year, it's really hard to fathom why a person would actually produce people's food. You know, but that's a farmer, I guess, in a nutshell. You know, and I always look at it myself as like you and I, when we want to do these things and we look at, you know, I need to make so much money to cover my expenses. And that's kind of one of our big focuses right now back on that revenue side is looking at how do we rebuild and how do we better our relationship in the supply chain with our packers, and to look at that pricing structure. And we've been working at this for a long time, and we still haven't quite solved it, unfortunately. And I can only say the analogy would be like you and I, you know, buying tools, a vehicle, you know, having, you know, a computer, and our boss says to us, well, you know, I'm going to sign a long-term contract with you to deliver some service, but I'm not going to tell you how much you're going to get paid. I'm just going to tell you kind of how you might get paid. And then, you know, you look at it year after year and you go, wow, I'm not making ends meet. You know, we'd maybe go off and get another job. But in the agriculture industry, you've invested so much into your land and your buildings and all your equipment that you just really can't do that. And then when you have animals, you've invested so much in those animals and they're breeding and they're doing things, and you've got such a huge inventory, you know, of animals at different ages that you have to care for. And you can't neglect that. Sometimes you're just beholden to the few packers that are out there to get whatever you can, and hopefully it's better in the future. And so for us, right now, we're just looking at how can we negotiate better with packers? How can we get those packers that just don't seem to want to come to the table and work with us to make our industry more sustainable? And, you know, one of those things is, you know, a lot of farmers right now are locked into long-term contracts, which is unfortunate, but they're often forced into it. A contract that says, please deliver a pig, but I'm really not telling you how much you're going to get paid. We'll let the marketplace determine that for you. It is something that, you know, we all look at as individuals, no matter what we do in our careers, you know, in our life. You know, we kind of need to know how much I'm going to get paid on an hourly basis or a monthly basis. And then from there, you can kind of figure out, you know, what kind of house can I afford? You know, what kind of groceries can I buy? Those types of things. Can I have any entertainment? But, you know, for the most part, most hog producers don't know that. They know that they're going to get paid, but they just don't know how much they're going to get paid. And then they have a contract that's, you know, often forced onto them saying you need to sign a contract for a longer period of time. And some producers have five-year contracts to deliver the pig. But yet, the contract doesn't take into consideration, you know, the marketplace, how prices might fluctuate up and down, or even the cost of those goods like grain and feed that go into producing a pig. And so when you see spikes in the farmer's costs, he doesn't have any way to go back to the packer to ask for more money.
Lots of information to take in all at once.
Yeah. But again, at the end of the day, I will say one thing, Erica. You know, we do have one of the best pork products in the world, and it is highly demanded. And you know, there's I think our consumers should feel very, and our public, too, should feel very, very good that we have fewer farmers all the time, unfortunately, but the farmers that are out there producing, you know, the food for us really do have our concerns at heart. And I mean, they live on the land. They're looking after those animals. They'd never get into this business if they didn't like being with animals and working with them. And they are safeguarding our food supply. Going back to your original point, it really is reassuring to know that our frontline workers, whether it be at the grocery store or those people who are working in processing facilities, have now got access to be vaccinated, and that's really positive.
Everything is just kind of working itself out right now, and we're just hoping it's going to be on the upside here.
Absolutely. Year. Absolutely. You got to stay positive.
Yes, always. Not COVID positive, though.
That's totally correct. Good point.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking with me.
Oh, my pleasure, Erica.
Thank you. This was the River Country Ag Show, and we talked with Darcy Fitzgerald, the Executive Director for Alberta Pork.